lorries bound past, yanked out of town by a cruel wind, trusting my bollocks over the amazing Esmeralda and her crystal ball. The tail of the convoy is all blue, shiny paint and tightly folded metal, looking like the lopsided dead whale. Seems like the whale has followed me here too. If a gigantic blue beast comes to tell you something terrible, you better pay attention. When it happens twice, believe it. I'm sucking the smoke from my cigarette, cupping my hand to keep the rain off. What will I tell him? Birdie'd say I should keep my mouth shut, let trouble do what it does best and put my back towards it. But it's fish. I toss the dog end on the ground. With Lindocks behind me, cranes tangled up in rows of black clouds rolling in from the east, I'm nearing the fisher fleet. Here the mucky water threatens the quay at full tide. The trawlers are coming home from the outer roads. Gulls gliding this way and that remind me of paper aeroplanes. I've claimed a spot beneath the brick shelter, wishing I'd found some place to piss. On my right, the river cuts a mean line through the land. The quay is filling up with rusty trawlers heavy with shellfish. When I spot the Anne-Marie, my stomach gets tight. 2 years away is a long stretch. And then he's there. Red hair like a hot match. The same stubborn way he stands. I move out from beneath the tin roof onto the quay. Fish! I shout. Up close, he stinks of tide mud and engine oil. Jesus fucking Christ, mate, he says. There's all kinds of trouble in his eyes. Hypnotising. All right. What the hell are you doing here? Hugging me hard. Because I don't know where to begin, I shrug. How dare tell him I've come home to figure out why death chases after me? We stand, taking each other in, smoking a shared cigarette. Come on. And I follow him until ahead of us there's nothing but the river steadily pounding the bank. Jesus, he says. You want to come over later? All right, I say. And it's like I never left. The last 2 years just disappears. But there's more to this than the ache in my underpants. The river speaks to me. My urgency to piss is everything, bigger than the warm mattress and the red-headed man asleep alongside me. Quietly, I get up, walk the floor, look back and listen for sleep sounds. In the dim bathroom, I piss into the bowl, on top of last night's urine, and flush. I pull on crunched-up jeans first, because I don't know where my underpants are. My coat is still damp from yesterday's rain. The view from the concrete balcony is nothing much to see. Clouds hang like dirty curtains. I suck in cold air and consider the man whose bed I slept in. Fish is dangerous. One night gone and already he's busted beneath my skin, messing me up. And I want him inside me. Because with fish, there's the in-between place I go. Where there's no noise and nothing matters. And I like it. But it's wrong. Last night, bare-arsed on his bed, I listen to him talk about how right it feels and I tell him, these things you want can't ever be right. Fish won't hear me. Tugs down his green underpants and tells me, you're wrong, mate. A scrawny boy riding a beaten-up bike pedals by slowly on the pavement beneath. He calls up for a cigarette. I tell him to sod off and flick the dog end off the balcony. Inside, there's no paper and pen to leave Fish a note. No use chewing my nails over it. Instead, I write Joe in ketchup on the white kitchen table, so he knows I'm not a ghost. Then I carry Birdie's pushbike down 3 flights of concrete steps because the lift is ruined, and ride home to the river. With sky everywhere, the river chases alongside the track, following the line. I slow down at Black Barn, a dead place at this time of year. Rumour reckons a local buried a man beneath the dirt floor. Fish spent one summer way back.